feel like you've learned from that experience?
If I can make this amount of money, there's no way I can go back to corporate.
Not necessarily a passion.
It blew my mind how much money I was making.
Business partnerships.
It can just fall apart very quickly. I have to stand on business with you. I cannot be your friend.
It's hard for people to take you seriously.
I'm single, don't have no kids. Mm-hmm. I blew a lot of people out of the water from an income perspective.
I had to make some tough decisions.
2023, July 5th, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Whoa, wait.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Full Transparency with Donnie Wiggins, where I highlight and have conversations with entrepreneurs who are doing outstanding things in their particular industry and their area of expertise. Think of Full Transparency like behind the scenes conversations with great people where I let you guys have a fly on the wall perspective as if we were out having lunch and just having us a good time. And that is exactly what we are about to do today. I have... first timer, y'all, we got to be good to her in the comments because this is her very first podcast interview. Miss Brianna Kayla, welcome, 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 welcome to Full Transparency.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm super, super excited to be here. I wouldn't have it any other way with my first podcast.
Okay. I love it.
You
I
are
love
definitely
it.
A vibe.
Thank you. Okay. Before we get started, get us both. We're going to do a deep breath together. All right. Let's go in and out. We feeling the vibes. We good. We good. We good. Let's get into it. All right.
Let's go.
Let's get it. So talk to me about what you do. Life insurance.
Yes. I specialize in life insurance. I've been doing it for over 10 years. So 11 years now. And it has been definitely a journey transitioning from working, just being an employer. And now I'm going through the cash flow quadrant and now I'm an investor. So it's good.
What's your background in understanding life insurance?
My background and understanding.
Yeah. So how'd you get started?
My father. So I grew up around the industry. He started when I was about 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And he always wanted me to be an agent. But I'm like, I don't want to follow in your footsteps. I want to do my own thing. So I got into fashion. I had clothing stores.
I can tell.
Thanks.
Look at you.
Okay. But I had clothing stores and hair salons. Started out when I was eight. No, I started working when I was 13 in retail. And I'm like, ooh, I want to have a clothing store. Mm-hmm. So when I was 18, I worked for Kimora Lee Simmons for Baby Fat. And then I opened up my first store when I was 24, my second store when I was 26. Mm-hmm. And then what I quickly realized is, okay, having a clothing store is cool, but it's not making me the money that I thought I would make. Mm-hmm. And I had to be present there. And my time, it was just a lot of time being spent there. I'm like, ugh. I think it's time that I change things a little bit so that my future self would thank me later. Mm-hmm. So I can figure out how can I make the most money and not spend a lot of time doing so. So my dad, after coming into my clothing store, checking like, you still got these same outfits from a month ago, opening up my cash register, like, where the money at? I'm like, get out. Yeah. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get my license and kind of see like how that works out for me.
What year was this that you had your clothing stores?
What year was that? When was that? 25? Like, what year?
10 years ago.
Yeah. So 2014.
Okay. Yeah. Because I had clothing stores as well.
Okay.
That originally did very well, like in 2010. Uh-huh. But around that 2012 mark, I had to make some tough decisions because the internet just took over.
Yes.
And you probably feel like I felt like I understood that Instagram boutiques and all these things were happening online. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like pulling up and seeing your vision in lights. I wanted to see my name in lights. Was that what it was for you?
100%. Yeah. I'm like, I can do this. I'm tired of working for everybody else and making them all the money and being the best employee to them. Let me work for myself. So that's exactly what I did.
But the other side of that was when I started my clothing stores, it was because I was fly. Like,
100%.
I stay fly. You know what I mean? This is what I do.
I was best dressed.
When I'm not fly, I'm fly. Yeah. Right? And so I just felt like people deserved to have access to what I got access to.
Yeah.
So come on in. Let me tell you what's hot because clearly...
I know.
Don't play with me.
Yeah, at all.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But I quickly learned that there has to be some business acumen behind all that fly.
Of course.
And there's so many young ladies that want to get into the industry of fashion and do that. You know, everybody wants to own a clothing store.
Absolutely.
I know you've moved on from that industry, but what do you feel like you've learned from that experience that's kind of set the tone for you today as an entrepreneur?
I learned so much. Well, first of all, I had a business partner. Me and my best friend, we went into business together, not knowing what we were doing. She did hair, I sold clothes. So it was just like, let's just make this magic happen. Mm-hmm. But what I learned was, if you don't know how to communicate properly, and if you don't have a business plan set in place, and it can just fall apart very quickly. Mm. And I feel like my friendship with her, it was tarnished, because I'm like, I have to stand on business with you. I cannot be your friend all the time. We got to be on the same page from a business perspective. And it became very, very hard. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it caused a gap within our friendship. So when it comes to business partners, I'm very kind of like choosy who I go into business with.
Yeah.
So that has been like one of the biggest lessons, and not just to do something because it's fly.
Yeah,
you know, so that's why I got into life insurance, because I'm like, this is a need-based business. People going to need life insurance forever. Mm-hmm. So this is not something I feel like I'll ever get out of.
Before we go there, you talked about business partnerships. Yes. And things that you learned. And it's so interesting, because when I opened my very first clothing store, I had a business partner, too. Mm-hmm. Who I can't stand to this day.
Hi, little man.
Listen. We ended up having a really huge fallout because of business, but I'd like to stay there for a second and give people like what you would look for differently, because I know that you also later went into business partnership with a mutual friend, Dion Cootwood. Shout out to Dion. And I've since gone on, and that person was a best friend of mine at that time as well. Mm-hmm. But I've since moved on, and I have a business partnership with David Shands and some other friends. He's my primary business partner. Shout out to Dave. What would you look for differently today if you were thinking about doing business with a partner?
They have to have the same ambition as me, and we have to be able to align from a vision standpoint. Mm-hmm. I want you to be able to run with me. And I feel like that was huge for me. And that's something that I pray for after that partnership ended. Mm-hmm. I literally was sitting in my office like, God, please bless me with somebody that I can run with. And yeah, like that I can bounce ideas off with, so we can just like take it to the next level. So then Dion came into my life, and I was like, person, like, okay, cool. But then he started showing me like who he was, and I learned so much from him. Even though we were business partners, I'm like, you are like a mentor to me. And that's before I even knew anything about a mentor and just someone that can like help propel me to get to the next level, because honestly, that's exactly what he did. And I'm like, you exactly what I pray for. And I would tell him like, you don't understand, like, what I pray for.
So you had your retail store in 2014. That partnership goes bad. Yeah. How much time goes by before you meet D?
I think it was like 2 or 3 years.
Two or three years.
Okay. Because I was running by myself in the mm-hmm. insurance industry. And I just felt like, at that time, I was the youngest person within our organization, and I always felt like an outcast, because it's just like all these men, these older men,
suit and tie,
and I'm a little intimidated. Like, I'm just a little old Bree. I'm single, don't have no kids, mm-hmm. not married. Like, all that was like an intimidating factor to me at that point in time.
I imagine it's hard for people to take you seriously, because you even still look young now. Before we started, I asked her, how old are you?
They say I'm 35.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But time is an illusion.
Yeah. So I imagine it being challenging for you for people to take you seriously at very early on.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I had to fight through a lot of things. I feel like people wouldn't allow me to sit at certain tables, mm-hmm. Because I was young, because mm-hmm. I wasn't married. I didn't fit that stigma, I think they wanted from a leadership perspective. So it was very intimidating, but I blew a lot of people out of the water, from an income perspective to a training perspective to how many people I could bring into the organization alongside with my business partner at that same time. So it's like, you didn't have a choice but to respect me, mm-hmm. Although you didn't want me to sit at those tables with you. Mm. But I bought a lot of value. So I fought, of course, as a woman, as a lot of times we do, and I prospered. I learned a lot throughout the journey, and it has brought me to the point where I am now, where, okay, now I'm an independent agent, and I'm helping agents across the nation. Clients, I have thousands and thousands of clients that I've helped across across the nation as well, and I'm just super, super grateful for the barriers that I had to, like, break down to get to this point, because I feel like if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be as resilient and strong as I am now.
Yeah. So I know that when you initially got started, it was a transition period from, like, the clothing stores to I need something to do. Mm-hmm. So you've witnessed your dad. You're following in his footsteps. Yeah. You go out. You get the training. Mm-hmm. Do you get certified in insurance?
Yes.
Okay. So you go out. You get the certification. Mm-hmm. Was that like a, I just need something to do at that moment, not necessarily a passion?
So, funny story. So, like I was saying, I have been transitioning through, you're familiar with the cash flow quadrant, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you start off as an employee. I'm working, started at 13.
Okay.
Then I'm an entrepreneur, clothing store, right? I'm like, how do I get over to the business owner, investor side? That has always been, like, my thing for the past 11 years. Like, how do I get over there? So at that point in time, I was bartending, like, while I had my clothing store. So I would literally work on the weekends, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It blew my mind how much money I was making. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if I can make this amount of money, there's no way I can go back to corporate at all. So then the clubs close down, as they do, because people fighting. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do? Because my clothing store is not doing what it needs to do for me to survive. And I still got bills. Mm-hmm. So that's when I really took it serious from just a perspective getting to the financial service industry. Like, okay, this is not a passion of mine. My passion is looking good, like looking fly. Yeah. But I need to do something. I know I can't go back to working a 9-to-5 and make the money that I was making when I was working as a bartender. Mm. So that's when I was like, okay, whoo. Now, with me working in the financial service industry, realizing literally I can make over $1,000 in less than 30 minutes. This is crazy. And you telling me I can do this how many times and twice on Sunday? Mm-hmm. Put me in the game, coach.
Wait, $1,000 in less than 30 minutes. Yeah. What kind of compensation plan is this? How do you get paid?
The good one. The good one.
Break that down. Because you help agents get started as agents.
I do.
Tell me how you make this money.
Okay, so I literally probably before 2 days, oh, yesterday I made like $5,000 just by helping like a couple of clients. But how you do it is you take exactly what a person would pay from a monthly perspective. So if you get a policy with me and you're paying $100 per month, how you get paid is you times that 100 by 12. And insurance companies, what they'll do is they'll advance you the entire year. So that's $1,200. So that's essentially how you get paid. And they'll advance you the first 75%, which is the first 9 months, et cetera. And then you get trails from the last 3 months. But, yeah, that's how you get paid. It goes off of what a client pays, multiply that by 12. Mm. And that's your check. Ka-ching.
So because you help agents get started, I want to talk about, because there's somebody who's watching this and they're looking for their entrepreneurial venture. Or maybe they've already tapped into financial services, but they don't really know how to make the money from it.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about coming into this industry, is this one of those things where, like real estate kind of, you have to really know people to be successful at it? Mm-hmm. Do you have to already have like a Rolodex of people that you're offering services to? Like, how easy is it to be successful?
No. Essentially, when I first started, my father, who was training me, he told me to make a list of 30 people that I knew. I'm like, I don't even think I know 30 people. But I started out in my warm market with my close friends and family members. Mm-hmm. And then he took me out and we trained that away. And then the trick to it is you just want to get the referrals from them. So you have to have a phenomenal presentation. You have to provide value, because in the beginning, you can't think about the compensation standpoint, because you can't expect for your close friends and family members to do business with you, especially with my background. They like, Bree, you in the fashion industry. What do you possibly know
about
life insurance or just the financial service industry? So I wasn't expecting them to do business with me, but what I was expecting, just listen to, hear me out, take the information, and let me just get your close friends and family members, because their close friends and family members, they'll look at me like I'm a professional because they don't really know me like that. So if you can do that and you can have a system in place where you have a presentation that has so much value and you know how to get those referrals at the end, you can be extremely successful. Like I said, I started out with like 25 to 30 people and now I have thousands and thousands of referrals. So I never run out of business and I never had to do ads or get on social media and do all that. It just happened naturally.
Okay, and organic business.
Organic.
Let's talk to the person though who like you based on your aesthetic.
Okay.
Super jazzy, fly. You're not the pencil skirt, pantyhose.
No.
So Kate's, you know, in the office. No. But also you look much younger than you actually are, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk up to the person who, based on their aesthetic, they're having a hard time being taken seriously in their industry. Mm-hmm. I know that you said that you came with this value and all this stuff, but what's like a couple of things that you would tell them? Like, hey, this is how I was taken seriously specifically, and this is what I recommend for you.
Definitely, you have to be confident. You have to go in confident and whatever you're going through that day, it doesn't matter. Like if you got into it with your spouse or your friend or falling out, you got to leave that outside. And you got to walk in knowing that, okay, I really have to help this family. I have to give the value. I have to bring the confidence. And that's how they're going to take you seriously, because the average person has like no idea about life insurance or, you know, where to go when it comes from a financial education standpoint. So you're going to walk in and they're all ears and they need your help, because what we teach and the presentation that I give is not taught in school. And so it's like once I open my mouth and I'm confident and I'm giving them something that they didn't know anything about, because the average life insurance policy people typically get is like 10 to 15, 25,000. It's like you're getting that because what, your grandmother or your mother gave that to you? But I'm coming to the table telling you, you know, you need actually like almost a million. Like it blows people's brains. Like, I need like a million. Why is that? Well, because we have to, I do a needs analysis. I don't just go into a living room. Like, how much coverage do you want? Like, okay, let me show you exactly how much coverage you need. And that's through a needs analysis called the DIME. So DIME, D stands for debt and death. I stands for income replacement. M stands for mortgage. And the E stands for education. So when we plug all of that in, it's like $500 to $1 million. And it's like, you literally are changing my life right now, because I was going to say I need about 10,000. It's like, what is your family going to do with that?
So you're speaking a whole lot of back office terminology right now, right?
Yeah.
Let's pretend like this audience knows nothing about life insurance. Okay. So how many people would say, let me get a $10,000 policy, because a lot of people are thinking from the perspective of only leveraging life insurance in the event that they die, right? And so let me pay for my funeral.
Absolutely.
$10,000, $15,000. And that's what they're doing with life insurance. But if, and that's based on just common knowledge, they're seeing commercials and all this stuff, but you actually do an assessment to determine what you need. Do you also offer policies that people can use while they're living and not just in death?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So there are several different policies that you can use while you're living. So we got the living benefit policy. So in the event of a critical, chronic, or terminal illness, you could receive up to 90% of your policy while you're still alive. Which, what does that do? It helps you focus on getting better instead of trying to rush back to work to pay for bills that's not going to necessarily stop. Because even if you're working a corporate job, you're losing anywhere from 30 to 40% of your income, but 100% of your bills are still coming in.
So if I have a $1 million policy, and what's that one called?
A living benefit.
If I have a $1 million living benefits policy, I can access up to $900,000 of that.
Yes.
And that will cover my medical bills, my living expenses, so I can focus on getting healthy and not focus on going back to work.
Absolutely, 100%.
But I have to pay that back.
No, you don't.
Okay, let's talk about it.
So you don't have to pay it back, but what happens is when you do take that $900,000 out of your policy, then the face amount of your policy will drop down to $100,000.
Because that's what's left of the $1 million.
And then you would pay the premium that it costs for a $100,000 policy opposed to a $1 million policy. And you do not have to pay that $900,000 back. That's the power of a policy with living benefits.
That's the power of a policy with living benefits. Okay, let's talk about, Is that the policy that you would advocate for first?
Absolutely.
100%. Like everybody needs living benefits.
Yes, 100%.
Trying to produce high quality content as a business owner probably seems impossible right now with how busy you are. You probably have ideas, but you're burnout and you just don't have the time, resources, or manpower to actually create ongoing high quality content. Freelancers are undependable, the employees you can afford are inexperienced, and agencies are way too expensive. So what's the solution? Breezy Content is a subscription that matches you with your very own content marketing team that will do everything from the strategy and planning of content to the writing, designing, and publishing of it. We handle everything from social media content to blog writing, SEO-friendly content for your website, and even lead generation pieces. We have multiple research methodologies that we use, including interviews, questionnaires, and more, to make sure that all of the content that we create for you is custom, high quality, and will actually move the needle for your business. Don't believe me? I get it. See what our real customers are saying. If you're interested in learning more, book a call today.
To learn how to create ongoing content when you don't have time to, visit makecontent.today for our free guide.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You can have policies run parallel to each other because life insurance is not a one-size-fits-all. So if you want to have a term policy, which a lot of people need because it allows you to get a lot more coverage and you barely paying anything, because the average cost of a term policy is about $2 per thousand. And then when it comes to whole life, it's about $18 per thousand. So
I think people don't have life insurance, though, Brianna, because they just don't understand what to get.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Some people feel like they don't qualify for it for a health reason, or they just don't understand what to get. So somebody brand new comes into your office, they come in, they get this living benefits policy. How do they even know what they can use it for in terms of living benefits? It's kind of like the iPhone, right? You get the iPhone and you got this device in your hand, but you don't know. I just found out that I had a fitness app on my iPhone 2 months ago. I had no idea. And there's no instruction manual that they give you to tell you all these things. So how does one become savvy in the language of life insurance as a customer, not as a provider?
Through a needs analysis, like I mentioned, so I don't ask them, like, how much do you need? I ask them questions like, okay, how many kids do you have? How much debt do you have? I really assess their situation, and then I give my professional advice on, okay, so considering the fact that you have a wife that does not work, she stays at home, you got two kids under the age of 18 and all this debt, you need to have at least, like I mentioned, like 500 to a million in a term policy that'll last for about 20 to 30 years, at least till those kids become of age and they're no longer dependent on your income, at least till your mortgage is paid off. Because if anything were to happen prematurely within that 20, 25 or 30 year time frame, it's like, what are they going to do? Cry twice? From the loss of you and then a loss of everything else, it'd be crazy. And I've seen it so many times. And it cringes my nerves when clients, they let their policy lapse and then they're calling me like, is the policy still active? And it's like, it lapsed and I've been reaching out. And now it's like, they're losing everything. Everything. So like I was saying before, you can have a term policy running parallel to a whole life policy, because with whole life,
the price doesn't change. Mm-hmm. So even when that term is up within 20, 25, 30 years, we can reassess things like, okay, do I still need this $500,000 policy? Because I've invested into some things. I have this in my bank account now, so I'm pretty much self-insured. So no, I can get rid of that. And then I'll just keep my whole life policy just as a backup, just in case. So yeah, that's how
you So I have a whole life policy. Mm-hmm. I also have a term policy.
Okay.
I hear my friends talk about leveraging their policies, borrowing against their policies mm-hmm. to like buy property mm-hmm. and invest in their business. Mm-hmm. I've not use that. I've not leveraged any, I haven't leveraged my insurance policies for anything. Mm-hmm. What policies, where does that fall into play? So somebody's like, I've got this life insurance policy and I want to start leveraging it. How does that work?
So that's an IUL. So an Index Universal Life Insurance Policy. Okay. So that has been a super popular thing as of lately. So that's, people can put as much as they want into that policy, right? And then typically, you can get the cash value within the first year, and that is the benefit over a traditional, like, regular whole life policy that takes 3 to 5 years to actually build the cash value. But with the IUL, you're actually investing in, well, running it parallel to the S&P 500. So when the S&P 500 does well, then the cash value in your policy, it will compound, and you'll get on the average rate of return anywhere from 6 to 12%, just depending mm-hmm. on what company you go through and mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. But when it goes down, there's a floor of 0.25% and you don't necessarily lose any money. So a lot of people like to leverage in those type of policies. But the trick to it is you have to say, I'm borrowing, not actually withdrawing. Because when you're borrowing, it's like, okay, you're going to pay it back. So we'll recognize your account being at the same before you actually borrowed. So now it's compounding. Like if you had $50,000 in there and you borrowed $25,000, okay, well, we're going to recognize your account still being at $50,000 and we'll continue to compound at that point in time because you said you was going to pay it back. Mm-hmm. But if you withdraw, it's like, oh, okay, well, now you got to pay taxes or et cetera, et cetera. So it's a lot that can go into it.
And so that's what they mean when they say become your own bank.
Yes.
You're leveraging an IUL policy.
Absolutely.
And yeah. you're borrowing from it, handling your business, yeah. paying yourself back with interest.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I haven't gotten into the weeds of doing those things because you mentioned a term that I kind of like, self-insured. I've been self-insured for a long time.
Let's get into it. Yes.
I've been self-insured even with actual insurance.
Uh-huh.
It's just I've been self-insured for a long time because we work really hard to make sure that we are. But for people who are watching this, like even thinking about making sure you've got life insurance on your children and life insurance on your parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's so important because it's like, all right, first of all, you want to have life insurance on your parents. Well, everybody needs to get life insurance on each other. Whoever you can insure within your family, go ahead and make this a family thing because people, you don't know who's the beneficiary of these policies. So when that time does come, you'll be looking up like, so who got the policy? Who, what? Well, if you handle your business, you don't have to ask those type of questions. So I feel like that's a very, very important conversation that families need to have. But I feel like it's a fear of having those conversations. It's like nobody wants to talk about death. Well, life is a part of death, so it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to life insurance, I always say just set it and forget it, like a gym membership.
Yeah, but
like,
it is really hard to have those conversations,
it is,
right? As yes. I get older, my parents are also getting older, and I start noticing different things happening, like, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can't see it, so don't act like you're starting to see it. But you know what I mean? No, seriously. I start noticing different things that's just happening to me, mm-hmm. right? And so it makes you think about your parents who are in their 60s and 70s and maybe some people even in their 80s, and you don't want to have those conversations. Sometimes it's kind of like a cross between handling your business and speaking it into existence.
And I feel that. But we gotta talk about it.
Okay, how do we talk about it? Like, how do we bring the conversation to our parents to make sure that they have insurance? If they don't, that they're getting it.
So I would just, hey, mom, dad, do you have a policy, like, at all? And then they'll tell you. And then you can simply just ask them, like, is it okay if I get a policy on you? Because
I did this with my mom and dad. They it wasn't hard. They like, yeah, I got a policy. All right, who the beneficiary? You know, is it me or my other siblings? Like, what's going on? Is it okay if I get a policy on you? Because I'm going to pay for it. Yeah, it's okay. What I need to do.
But what's your plan with that policy? Because a lot of people don't know what they can do with that policy for you, not for them. How does that policy benefit you?
Well, it'll just benefit me because I'll be able to help my siblings out. Like, I am the first person in my family that will be a millionaire, right? Mm-hmm. So, and that's coming soon. But it will benefit me because I'll be able to help them more in ways that my parents, like if they're helping my sister or my brother pay their rent, I'll be able to, you know.
In the event of your parents' death.
Death. Absolutely.
Then you receive a cash benefit.
Absolutely.
That you can use for whatever you want.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I feel like that is so important. And we can utilize that as a family to invest into other things. Families do that. Mm-hmm. They are big on life insurance and taking those benefits and investing into other things to create generational wealth. And I feel like that's very, very important.
Mm. Do you have a personal experience that showed you just how valuable life insurance is? Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Into it. So I actually had to utilize life insurance for myself with living benefits because in 2024? In 2023, July 5th, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So it sounds so weird to say it because I don't give that word much energy at all. Because I feel like there's so much power in the tongue. And people are scared of the word cancer. It brings a lot of fear around it. So it's kind of weird for me to even talk about. I'm kind of getting choked up. But I was diagnosed with breast cancer July 5th. And I've had my living benefit policy since I was 24. Never in a million years did I think that I would have to use that policy because initially I got that $1 million for my family because I'm like, okay, if something were to happen to me within this 20, 25 year, 30 year range, and I'm not able to become a millionaire, you guys will be good forever. But I had to actually use it and receive the benefits from it. So it definitely was very, very eye-opening for me, and I feel like it has made my why even bigger because a lot of people, especially younger people, don't take life insurance seriously. They don't think they're going to die. They don't think they're going to get sick. And it's just like anything can happen at any given time.
Let's back up for a second. Mm-hmm. So you're working as an entrepreneur, yes. And what prompted you to go to the doctor?
Because for years, I was feeling some type of pain, and I'm like, something is weird, but I ain't.
In your breast?
In my breast.
Okay.
And I'm just like, but I don't have no health insurance, so I don't know.
You're an entrepreneur.
I had no
who sells insurance. Life insurance, no, but no. You don't have any medical insurance.
I did not have any health
insurance. Sounds familiar.
No.
Sounds health. Familiar.
No health insurance. So I'm like, I don't know. So I called my dad. I don't know why I called my dad instead of my mom. And my dad was just like, he was like, drink some alkaline water. Everything could be fine. Just drink water. And I should have called my mom because most men don't go to the doctor.
But wait, because this is a thing, and it's especially a thing in the African-American community. Mm-hmm. You're feeling this pain.
Yeah.
And people ignore pain every day. Absolutely. I know entrepreneurs who push through pain every day. Mm-hmm. The pain, for clarity, is actually in your breast.
Yeah.
It's not in your arms. It's not in your chest. It's not in your abdomen. No. It's in your breast. Yeah. What does that pain feel like?
Sharp pains that will come and go randomly, periodically.
Just while you're sleeping, while you're moving around.
While I'm moving around.
Moving around. Mm-hmm. It's like a sharp pain that would stop you in your tracks. Or just like.
What is that?
Mm-hmm. It's noticeable.
Mm-hmm. I'm tripping.
You don't need to take pain pills for it. It's just a sharp pain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you call your dad and the alkaline water. I guess the alkaline water is you 30-year-olds ginger ale. take a ginger ale, drink a ginger ale, lay down.
Yeah.
So your dad told you to drink some alkaline water and go in there and lay yourself down.
Yes. He stop tripping. And I would literally carry alkaline water in the trunk of my car.
But were
car.
You worried? Like, this a little pain? You called your parent. Like, you don't call your dad if you have a headache.
Yeah, you're right. I was.
What made this worrisome for you?
Because I don't know. I was just like, why am I feeling like this? I know cancer is a thing, but like, this can't be me.
Is it in your family? Like, has anybody else
had cancer? My grandmother on my father's side had it, but I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know at all. They recently told me.
Your internal instinct told you something is wrong.
Yes, but it took me 5 years.
Wait a minute, Brianna.
Yes.
Okay, whoa, wait.
Yeah.
You were feeling this pain for 5 years.
It took me 5 years to actually go get a mammogram because I got health insurance and I was thought I was fancy. So I'm like, I'm finna take care of everything. We going all out. So I do my, you know, womanly thing. Then I'm going to the dentist. Then I'm like, oh, can I get a mammogram with this? So they like, you're too young for a mammogram. I'm like, what? What you mean? Can I? Check me out.
Mm-hmm.
So they like, okay, we could just do like, some scans, but yeah. And then I remember one time I was in a shower and I felt something and I was like, this can't be that, but it stayed in the back of my head. And I'm like, okay, I really got to take this seriously. Let me go. So December of, I think it was 2022 or 2023, one of them, I went in and they was like, oh, it's just a cyst. Like, you're good. Come back in 6 months just so we can check it out, make sure the cyst doesn't grow. So I'm like, I remember sitting in that doctor's office looking at the image that they showed me, just staring at it like a cyst. All right, cool. And I remember writing in my journal, my manifestation journal, all that. Today is the best day ever. They told me it was just a cyst going on with my life. I trust y'all. Trust the doctors. That, mm-hmm. Ooh, yeah, that stopped all that. But they was like, come back 6 months later. So that year, last year, I took my mom and sister on a vacation for Mother's Day, like on a surprise trip. And my 6 months time frame was coming up for me to go in. And I'm like, I'm not going back to the doctor until after my trip, because if they tell me something, it's going to mess up my trip.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that trip, I went back for my checkup and they tried to tell me the same thing. It's just a cyst. Relax. It's not growing. Go home. And I was like, y'all got all these student doctors. Can I get a real doctor coming in here? Because I'm not feeling 100% confident. So then a real doctor came in. It was like, why do you feel this way? Come on, let's check it out. I'm like, okay, keep checking it out. Like, I'm hoping that it's nothing. But then things escalated pretty quickly. And they're like, okay, we want to biopsy you. We want to check it out. Oh my goodness, this might look like something. And I'm just like, how did I end up in this room where everything was okay? And then y'all push me to a room across the hall and it's like, everything is just an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point in time, I'm like, I'm done with y'all at this hospital. Like, I'm done. So I did the biopsy just because, and I remember calling my mom, like, Mom, crying. Like, they think they see something. I don't know. I'm freaking out. My mom was out shopping. She's like, baby, just get the biopsy. You fine. Like, everything gonna be fine. And I'm like, Ma, like, something is telling me my gut, my intuition be on point a lot of times. Like, I don't know. This feels different. So they had me waiting. They did the biopsy. I didn't. They waited until after the 4th. When I say that was the longest holiday weekend of my life, I was stressed out at my pool, baby.
They're waiting to communicate this to you, the results.
Yes. So I'm stressed out at my pool, like, oh my God. Like, they finna tell me some BS. I feel it. I feel it. So July 5th, they like, we need you to come in to the doctor's. I'm like, okay. I go in. I've been crying already this whole weekend. That's actually... Before they even gave me my results, I went raw vegan. I was like, completely changed my life. Stop eating meat, everything. I'm like, whatever they got to say, I'm on top of it before they say it. Because I understand that it's a lot that goes into our food that causes these things to basically transpire. So, cried that entire weekend, went into the office. They pulled me in. My nurse... I can tell her ass glossy. Like, you finna tell me what I think you finna tell me. Yeah, because you was just looking real happy. Like, hey, right, right, right. And you must have just got my results. Now you coming in here with teary eyes. Mm-hmm. Cool. Put my mom and my sister on speakerphone. I was crying out. They end up saying, yeah, we found cancer. My mom and sister boo-hoo crying. Like, but I'm just staring at the wall like, okay, cool. I'm finna beat this. I don't know how. My mind just like racing. I'm praying. So I had to hang up the phone on my mom and sister because I'm like, y'all being too dramatic right now. I gotta focus. I really gotta focus. So at that point in time, I no longer trusted those doctors just there, period. And I wanted to go into this thing from a natural standpoint. I'm like,
did they tell you what stage of cancer you had?
No, they didn't.
Ever?
Yeah. It was later? Stage 3. Yeah.
Okay. Later. Stage 3.
3. Yeah. So I'm like, I want to do this from a natural standpoint. I want to heal myself. I see all these stories of people just changing their diet, healing themselves, not going through chemotherapy, radiation, all of that. So it took me from July 5th, and they were trying to rush me. They like, we want you to get in ASAP, to get chemotherapy immediately. I'm like, this don't feel comfortable to me. No, I'm not. And I don't trust y'all. So I'm going to go somewhere else. So it took me from July 5th until September to make a decision. My mom and sister, my family.
How are you going 2 months knowing that you're walking around with cancer and you're not... You haven't made a decision.
Faith. Trusting in God, changing my diet, really listening to myself and not what everybody else wanted me to do. Because my mom, she wanted me to immediately go do the treatment, baby. Come on, we got to do this. But it's like, if I fall victim to what you want me to do and I'm not happy, that's going to play a part in my healing. Yeah. Because you have to be like content and happy with your decision. And I was not happy with any of the recommendations that they were giving me at that time. So then that's when I went to Mexico. It was a spot in Mexico and they did holistic healing. It was expensive though. I was paying out of pocket like, $7,000 a week.
$7,000 a week? Mm-hmm. Is this being covered via cash or your life insurance? Okay.
Cash. They don't accept insurance over in Mexico. So I was there for about a month.
$7,000 a week times 4 weeks, that's a month. Okay, so
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was over there. I still haven't gotten my insurance money yet. So this was all like just me, my money.
And that's what I meant when I asked about insurance. So were you leveraging your own personal bank account or were you leveraging your life insurance policy? Did you pay yourself back from that policy?
I did.
Okay, so let's keep going. So you're in Mexico.
Yes.
Do you remember, is it a place that you would rave about? Uh-huh. Like, what was the place?
ICT in Tijuana. And a lot of people tried to scare me from going to Tijuana.
That, I've heard things.
Yes. But I'm like, that's not the energy I'm going for. Like, I feel like we create our own reality. When I say Tijuana was one of the best places that I went to, I met some of the most purest heart people. Like, I felt so comfortable. So you cannot, people should not be able to scare you from things. Like people try to scare like people from Chicago and it's like, it ain't even that bad some places, but it's like, it's good.
And that's exactly what it was in Mexico. So
I don't know if we should have inserted Chicago at this point in the story. I was right when you were right. But it's feeling real wrong right now.
Really? You know what? You must be talking about O Block or something. I don't know what you
I've had heard. Personal experiences in Chicago. Really? Absolutely.
Okay. Yes. I'm sorry.
I'm with you when you're right. All right. Okay. So we're in Tijuana.
Yes. At ICT. We're at ICT. So stayed there for 4 weeks.
What is that treatment like? Like, what are you doing? Oh, my goodness.
So they had me doing... It's totally different from here. So they had me laying on hot beds, saunas. It's just so many different things. And it's going to also be in my book because mm-hmm. I've been writing about all of this. But then they did. What happened was I went there because I was trying to preserve my hair. And my hair was waist length. So it's just like whatever I can do to not lose my hair, but also stay healthy, that's what I'm going to do. So that's what attracted me to them. But they said that because my cancer was so aggressive, I would have to do some form of low dose chemo. And they was like, it was a 5% chance that my hair will fall out, but it shouldn't. Girl.
Done.
Did it. Came home, had my hair. My mom, she came over because I took my braids out. I'm like, Mom, yeah, I still got my hair. She took my braids out. No, I took my braids out. She came. She was going to wash my hair, all that for me. And as she's combing through my hair, she just starts crying. And I'm looking in the mirror. It's a mirror right in front of me. And I see her, and I'm just like,
yeah. Did you go to Tijuana by yourself?
No.
Okay. Oh. No, baby, I had support.
I did.
She said that no hit different. No, my daddy came with me.
No. No. It was my boyfriend at the time.
Okay. You were being loved on in a relationship. Yes. You're in Tijuana. They're doing all these treatments. Yes. You've got the hot bed, sauna. They had you on a special diet. Were you on a special diet?
Yeah. Well, they had a chef for me and everything, but I stayed just vegan. Mm-hmm. So the freshest food, when I say they got the freshest fruits and everything in Mexico, and I plan on actually going back, just for maintenance work, but also just to get that sun.
Mm-hmm.
Food is different. Mm-hmm. So I'll just go there to reset. So came back home October, and they wanted me to cut off my breast at that point in time. And I wasn't comfortable.
So you come back home and go back to your Atlanta doctors.
No, I'm Chicago.
You're in Chicago. Chicago. You go back to your Chicago doctors.
No, not immediately. Because I was...
Why are you taking so long? What are you doing?
I need you to get treatment
now.
You sound like my mom.
Why are we procrastinating?
Because I have to feel comfortable. And I didn't feel comfortable.
Girl, you got me scratching myself. Yeah,
I didn't feel comfortable with them doing surgery on me in Mexico. So I can't. I was like, I got to pray on it, y'all.
So
I
get the treatment in Mexico, but y'all not cutting me open in Mexico.
Because I wasn't ready to let go.
Hey, entrepreneur, are you looking for mentorship? Do you ever watch me here on the Social Proof Podcast or on Full Transparency and say, you know what? One day I want to work with Donnie. Great news. You absolutely can. Join me inside my community, Actionable CEO, where we help to develop new habits, grow you personally, professionally, and financially, help you take massive action in your business, ultimately helping you make more money. It's just $97 a month. We meet every single week. We have a book club. We do live co-working sessions. When I'm in your city, you guys get to connect with me in person and so much more. Don't take my word for it. Go over to actionableceo.com. Check out the page and see if it's a good fit for you. If so, I'll see you on the inside.
I was not ready to let go. It's like, cut off my breast. What does that look? Wait, what? But people heal themselves. Like,
real quick, let's pause in the story. Yeah, uh-huh. What's happening with your business while all of this is happening?
I took a break.
So you're not making any money?
No, I took a break.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, you had money saved.
Yes. Okay. I'm good at that. That's one thing I can do. Yes, save. Yes. So mm-hmm. I just took a break so I could relax. I mean, I had clients that would need me to rewrite their policy existing. I was servicing existing clients, but like you mentioned before the show, like I wasn't worried about like growth. I have a nice book of business. So if, mm-hmm. if people need it, oh, my kid needs a policy or whatever the case may be, I was able to service them because I can work from anywhere. So,
okay.
But going full fledged, no, I took a break. I relaxed.
Before we get to your Chicago doctors, mm-hmm. Your life, you've taken a break from work. Mm-hmm. How are you spending your time to just be well in that moment?
Relaxing, journaling. I'm big into manifestation, law of attraction, visualizing myself as being healed, being well, working out, traveling, still doing the things that I would do as if I was already healed.
Energetically, you felt okay?
Yes. Okay. Energetically, I was good. When I wasn't getting treatments, but when I was getting treatments, then it's like, oh, I'm feeling a little tired. I'm a little sick or whatever the case may be, but I would bounce back. So coming back to Chicago, had to pray on it. And I'm like, Mexico, the doctors in Mexico, they wanted me to cut it off immediately. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with that. Like, I'm not comfortable. So October to February, that's when I started my treatments in the States. So I took another couple of months, and they had completely, like, the size of my tumor was so big, it was scary. So when I left Mexico, my breasts were, like, the same size. So I was like, ooh, yes. And my mom was like, baby, you shouldn't have to cut it off. I was like, I know, right, Mom? Because, like, I don't think, but it grew back. And so when it grew back, that's when I kind of got nervous, and then that's when I got treatment in Chicago. And I literally just finished up my treatment. So about 2 weeks ago, I was pronounced cancer-free.
Okay, wait. Congratulations.
Thank you.
But did you have to cut your breast off?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Hold on, Brianna.
Yes.
So the cancer would have spread if you didn't.
It would have.
And
that's what they said. Well, I mean, I guess it would have. But the crazy part about this is it didn't. It always stayed in one place because that's where I was communicating with it. Like, you got to stay right here until I feel kind. So it stayed local. It never moved. So I would get tests during the time of my thinking period. And it's like, it's still there. I'm like, okay.
So you make this decision.
Make this decision.
To cut your breast off.
The hardest decision of my life. Because they were like, do you want to do both? Or you just want to do one? And I'm like, what? Because they were trying to.
And then they want you to make these decisions so fast.
So fast. No, I literally made the decision while I was going into surgery. Like 5 minutes before my surgery. I'm like, we doing one or two. My doctor's like, we need to know. I'm like, hold on. I ain't done. God ain't say. He ain't cleared me yet. He ain't tell me which direction to go. I was very confused. Like the night before, I'm like, I don't know what I'm finna do. I'm finna be. Both of them gone. I'm finna be one nipple bandit. I don't know what. Like, we finna get into it. So I just decided to get rid of the right one. And here we are. So right now, the right one is gone. But my plastic surgeons, when they showed me the things that they can do, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm gonna be able to have a nipple again? I didn't know. Like, we could do this.
I can't even tell.
Thank you.
I can't even tell.
Thank you.
That is, okay, so awesome from a perspective that you seem to be very happy with the decision that you made.
I am.
So when did you actually have the removal?
August 9th.
August this year?
Yeah.
Girl.
And it's the 28th, yeah.
And you are up and walking around and...
Traveling.
Hugging me.
Hugging you.
Traveling.
Yes, because you got to live.
Happy.
You got to live. You cannot let it defeat you. Like, it's a mental thing. Mental. You got to be mentally strong. And so I just plan on being an advocate now that it'll be out there for people to see what I've been through. I plan on, like, definitely advocating for women that have been through this because I feel like some people just don't make it because they're not mentally strong.
And are you in pain right now?
No.
Completely healed.
Yes.
Brianna.
Donnie.
You're 2 weeks out of surgery.
Is it 2 weeks?
Maybe three. 2 or 3 weeks out of surgery and you've gotten on a flight. And if I had known that before this, we would have waited. I just feel like, you know what I mean? You should be resting.
I've been resting. Like, I've been resting. You sound like my best friend.
Don't turn me into mama, best friend, whoever yes. I need to be. Yes. You feel good.
I feel great.
And you had the surgery. Are you back at work?
Yeah. Full-fledged.
You're back at work.
Yeah, I'm back working. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all in agreement with this?
So, that's my best friend. And I just want to give a shout out to her because, like, literally when I decided to go through, like, the treatments in Chicago, I was like, oh, I'm just go about do it myself. And she was like, I'm not letting you do this by yourself. Like, nobody in my family was able to go to the appointments because they work, et cetera, et cetera. She made every single appointment every single week and stood by my side. She gave me support that I didn't even know that I needed. I'm like, girl, I got this. And if it wasn't for her, I don't know how I would get through things because the stuff that I had to go through from like cold caps, like I was able to preserve my hair, the little bit that had like, cause my hair fell out from Mexico, right? Took that break. And it grew back. So mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, people not going to really know. I'm just going to say, you know, I cut my hair because I wanted to do like a new thing.
Were you hiding it or were you keeping it private?
Both private and hiding. Because I feel like everybody don't have the best intentions for you. And I didn't want people to worry about me and call me with worry. I'm good. I don't need worriers to affect my thought process.
You were protecting your energy.
I was 100%. Now, there's people in my family that don't even know. So they're going to see
about
this.
To know now.
Yeah, they're going to see and be like, Brie, wait, what? I didn't need you to worry. I need you to be that uncle to me. I needed you to be that cousin to me. I needed you to be
maintain
that friend.
Order.
We don't treat me no different at all because, no, don't. Brie, you good? Oh, my God. My cousin went through this and they didn't, da-da-da. Now you're instilling fear into me. And faith and fear can't coexist.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be confused.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have that mustard seed of faith to get through it.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I didn't know how I was going to get through. Was I scared? Absolutely. God, am I going to make it? Oh, my. Is this how I'm finna die? Really? No, this ain't it. Like, I need you to pull me through this.
Mm.
Show me the way. Speak to me. And that's exactly what he did. So I completely changed my diet. Stopped hanging with folks. Stop drinking. Mm-hmm. I went from like 180 pounds to 140. And it has been a complete transitional point in my life.
Mm.
Now, it's crazy. I told my mom this. I'm like, it's going to sound bad, mom, but I'm kind of glad that it was me because I'm strong. And I know I needed to go through this in order to get to that next level of my life.
Mm. What do you feel like, what's the next level that this has brought you to or is bringing you to?
I feel like I can be more purposeful to people and help more people with my strength because I've always been like a super faithful, a super spiritual person. But now it's just like, all right, y'all, come on. Come on. God is real.
Yeah.
Let me help you. Like in another way outside of life insurance, look and fly, whatever the case may be, I'm able to help people from a whole different perspective now and bring a whole different value because I've asked God like to use me. How do you want to use me? So he had to isolate me. He had to like completely strip me, take all my hair. Like I'm looking like on some days, like the little emoji.
Girl, this is not a laughing matter.
Okay. But it's...
That was funny as hell.
No, seriously. And it's no shade to anybody who is going through this, but this is my journey.
This is not a laughing matter, Brianna.
It's not a laughing matter, but it's my life, and this is how I get through it. Like, I would literally make jokes about myself just to I laugh through my pain. Like, I can't believe I called my sister. I called Mel, like, Mel, look at me. Look what I look like. You know, like, and I just had to find the beauty in the darkness. And that's exactly what happened. Like, I've been able to tap into another person, like, seriously.
You mentioned that your boyfriend at the time is who comforted you through the Tijuana process.
Yeah.
On top of everything that you're dealing with, having to temporarily step back from your business, mm-hmm. fighting this battle that you won. Mm-hmm. How do you, where do you insert a breakup?
That's the crazy work that God just, he did his big one. Not to say it was a good big one, but it's just like he, I was faced with a lot within that, within the past year and a half. Like, why am I going through this breakup? Well, sometimes people just not supposed to be in your life. It's just supposed to be temporary. And I tend to hold on to things longer than I should. Mm. So it was meant to be. I appreciate the support of him at that point in time, of course. But I think we both knew that it was time. We just didn't know how. So God did that. And I pray, like, if we're not supposed to be together, please make this, like, as painless as possible, because I've been through enough, God. And that's exactly what happened. Like, our lease was up, and it just naturally flowed.
Two different directions.
Two different directions.
Woo! Yeah. You are a tough cookie. I love that for you. At the same time, though, I hate that this was your experience, right? But you seem to have settled on the fact that there's beauty in this pain.
Absolutely.
And it's led you to your purpose. Yeah. So for that, we have to be thankful and we have to congratulate you. First of all, let's give it up for her for beating cancer altogether. So now you're back in your business. You have to continue to do maintenance routines. Is this like a rest of your life thing, just to check and make sure every couple of months we're still good?
Absolutely, 100%. And I'm actually meeting with Dr. Sabi's wife. Yes, in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So she's out in New York. I was going to go to Honduras to go to their retreat that they have out there. But I'm like, oh, she's local, so we can make this a thing. So I'm doing things for me from just continuing to maintain, keep my body alkalized. I think I said that right. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Not eating meat, just staying on top of things. But I am going to continue to get screenings and things of that nature just to make sure everything is
tip-top. So are you completely raw vegan still?
No.
Okay.
No.
Vegan?
Vegan vegetarian. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I kind of got back into, like, but I'm not going to meat though. But yeah, vegan vegetarian.
Well, I'm happy that you beat this.
Thank you.
You're back at work now.
Yes.
You've got some making up to do. Like, when you come back, when you take a break, first of all, shout out to working so hard when you're well.
Oh, my gosh.
That you could afford to go through this process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could afford it.
Absolutely.
Like, it's one thing to be sick. It's another thing to be sick with the big letter C word. Mm-hmm. But it's a totally different thing to be sick and not have the means.
Yes.
Or to think you have the means through medical insurance.
Yes.
When sometimes, as we've all heard, the medical insurance that we have doesn't provide the best care. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States all the time. There are some outstanding and amazing doctors, not taking away from that, but you're in this situation and at least you could breathe a whole lot easier. Yeah. Because you had cash on hand.
Come on.
But also, let's talk about the reimbursement from the life insurance policy.
Let's get into it.
How much money do you believe that you had to leverage from that policy for your care total?
To reimburse myself? Well, from Mexico, how much was that? Like almost
$30,000. Mm-hmm.
And just my living expenses, because at that point in time, I had a penthouse. So paying for that, probably maybe $60,000, give or take, maybe a little less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm super grateful for having my living benefit policy, because mm-hmm. I had $1 million. And a couple years ago, I just got like two extra million just for my nieces and nephews, but that policy is not like living benefits. But back to the living benefit policy, yeah, they gave me a nice little payout.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to take that money and push myself into that investor quad.
Okay.
Yes. So just recently bought a couple investment properties, got into real estate. So now my whole focus is on having my money work for me.
That's the part, because it's great to have that money on hand. It's great to be successful.
Absolutely.
But I did gasp a little when you said I got to step away from the business and it's not really making any money, right? Mm-hmm. And this is important for you guys. You think you have this money, you have everything saved, you can access money in the event of an emergency. But suppose it wasn't just a year and a half.
Yeah,
suppose you, to the audience out here, have to fight a little longer, mm-hmm. right? Do higher level treatments and try the most, you know? Yeah. Like, your options are limited without protection.
Absolutely.
And that's the gist of, you were afforded the opportunity to fight the way that you did because your life insurance, coupled with your entrepreneurship,
yes.
provided you some options.
Absolutely.
That's outstanding.
Yes. So the financial service industry has completely changed my life.
Yeah.
100% on both ends of the spectrum.
So what's next for you? You're on this brand new journey. Mm-hmm. It's a year and a half later. You're healthy again. Yeah. Where are you going now?
Well, now I plan on, you're my first stop as far as speaking about my journey, but I plan on doing more podcasts, just bringing more awareness, helping more agents become successful in this industry. So helping more people, you know, earn six figures, and helping thousands and thousands of more people when it comes to getting the proper protection, mm-hmm. And replacing bad policies and things of that nature. So I'm going to continue to talk to God about, like, where he wants me to be. I'm going to let him guide me.
I love that.
And I'm not going to make any moves until he brings clearance. And but we'll see. But it's, everything is on the up and up because I have a very strong support system around me, right? Mm-hmm. And having a friend like Dion who pushed me throughout this process has been definitely a game changer. And I feel like you need those type of people in your life, because if he didn't push me, I probably would still be in the same spot.
What's your biggest takeaway from this whole experience, this last, let's just say, 2 years?
Mm-hmm. My biggest takeaway is my faith has to remain. My faith has to remain bigger mm-hmm. than my fears, and understanding that everything will always, always be okay. Always. So that, I would say, is my biggest takeaway. And always trusting God, for sure. Yeah. Because he did his thing with me.
I was listening to you, and I heard how many times you referenced not just God, mm-hmm. but your direct and intentional consultation with God. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, that's really inspiring, right? I'm not making any moves. I'll wait. I'll take some time. Yeah. God, you tell me when to say yes. You tell me when to say no. You tell me when to get creative. You tell me when to go. You tell me when to be still.
Yes.
And that's what I got from this entire journey, even outside of that temporary illness that had you down for a minute, just in your entrepreneurial journey, going from the boutique into a new industry and the decisions that you were making. You're a habitual seeker of God's clarity.
Absolutely.
Permission.
Yes.
Guidance.
Absolutely.
And that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge. I believe that when we have something bigger that we're believing in and for, and something bigger that's guiding us, that's when the doors really unlock mm-hmm. to the ultimate success, the success in our relationships, the success in our business, the success in our health journeys. Mm-hmm. And you're on that journey.
Yeah.
And I love that for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it's, I feel like another thing I feel like I learned throughout this entire process, to close doors when they need to be closed, because I can't walk into a new door until that door is closed. So he shut down, God shut down a lot of things. And when I was in Tijuana, I had a therapist, and what I learned about breast cancer is that if you have cancer in your left breast, it is from trauma from a female counterpart or a woman in your life that you've just been holding it in. But if it's on your right, it's from a man. So I had to let go of past hurt from past relationships, unhealed from, you know, things that have went on with me and my father. Like, it went deep from a male perspective when I learned that, oh, my God, it's in my right. And he was talking me through it the entire time. He was like, who hurt you? What man in your life? And I just was sitting there bawling, crying, just thinking about everything that I had pent up in me that I never released, because I could be going through the worst breakup. And I did go through the worst breakup of my life. I was in a 10-year relationship, and we broke up in a year and a half later. This man got married to somebody else. So that played a huge role on my self-esteem, all of that. And at that point, Deion was my business partner. I'll never forget that day. We were in the office, and it was all on social media. When I say I was crying my eyes out before I came to that office.
On social media?
He put his engagement up.
Oh, okay.
And when I say I was crying my eyes out, but I walked into that office like, let's rock and roll. And Deion came in my office, and he sat down. He was like, you good? I was like, yeah, I'm good. And we ain't have to really go into the conversation, but he knew. But he's always been that type of friend. You know, and you need them type of people in your life. But yeah, that was like one of the biggest traumas that it was hard for me to let go of.
And this was from your therapist.
Yeah. Well, yeah. In Tijuana.
In Tijuana. So you said we got to let go of some past hurt.
Yes.
I'm going to just send a couple of I forgive you text messages.
For sure.
I'm just making this note. Let go of the past hurt.
Yes, because that stuff can cause illness, for sure, within you. So got to be at peace with other people, being able to move forward and forgive.
Move forward and forgive.
And forgive.
These are reminders, right? Because I didn't have that treatment in Tijuana, but whatever they told you worked.
Yeah.
And I'm going to meditate over this.
Yes.
Forgiving people really does set you free when and I believe it in a sense, like I'd have to do more research about the left breast and the right breast.
Sure.
You had an experience that I didn't have. So I'm not refuting it or agreeing with it. Right.
Right.
But I believe that type of trauma that we don't let go of definitely causes sickness, up to if it can cause death. Right. People literally die from a broken heart.
Oh, my God.
It can certainly cause other forms of illness.
Absolutely.
You can feel a physical pain when you're hurt.
Yes.
Right. Like you feel it. It's not just an airborne or air based emotion. You feel this physical pain when something is hurting you that you can't explain. You can't even really say where it is on your body.
Yeah.
But you can cry yourself into a headache. You can cry yourself into nausea. You can cry yourself into vomiting and body aches and just deliriousness and exhaustion. Mm-hmm. So I believe that there definitely is some connection. And I believe a big takeaway here from your story is if you are sitting with, living with, dealing with pain that has been crippling you in a way for a long time, it's time to get the help that you need to let that go.
100%.
I really wrote that note down.
Yes.
Like I really wrote, it's like, forgive some people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's so imperative. So now my best friend be like, you are just, you just say anything that you feel, et cetera. I have to get it out. I have to get it. I can't hold things in anymore. If I'm feeling some type of way, I have to tell you. I have to say, let's talk about it, because I cannot hold things in any longer. I will not let uneasy feelings resonate within me anymore.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. No, and it really does. And I want you guys to think about it that are watching this episode. Whenever you feel unsettled, whenever your nerves are out of whack, you feel it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a physical feeling. Mm-hmm. And that can't be whatever's causing that feeling to happen. Mm-hmm. It can't be good on your entire body, on your organs, on your nervous system, on any of the systems that help us to function every single day.
Yes.
That's damage.
Yeah. Big damage.
Big damage.
Big damage.
I'm glad you have relieved yourself of that damage. And then going forward, in addition to speaking up, right, when you're feeling something needs to be talked about, what are you doing now to protect your energy and making sure that you're not accumulating more hurt and more things that you're sitting with that can affect you negatively?
Well, like I pray.
often. God probably tired of me as much as I pray. I was praying, walking in here, me and her pray together. I'm like, look, okay. So I pray, I journal. I'm very conscious of the company that I keep. Mm-hmm. I'm a very nice, loving, bubbly person, and I just love on everybody. But I hold people to a certain distance just to protect my energy, because I feel like people take advantage of my kindness, and it has drained me so much in my past, from just different friendships and learning how to manage my expectations and understand that people don't have the same heart as me. So to protect myself from having that heartbreak, it's just like, okay, well, I got to do my interviewing process a little bit different and just not let people get so close to me. So just referencing to God and doing a lot of things in nature. So I do a lot of solo trips, solo dates, and just tuning in to me and taking care of me and not necessarily putting everybody else first, because I used to put everybody else first. Mm. But I just start putting me first, like, okay, I got to do this for Bree.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are doing it for her. You carry yourself through this journey with so much grace, so much class. Even you sitting here today is just very indicative of class and grace, and you've inspired me today, for sure. You've certainly inspired me. And also, you made it through your very first interview.
Period.
Ooh. I did. How are we feeling?
I feel good. I feel like I just let the cat out the bag. Mm-hmm. Because this is something that I've been holding like near and dear to my chest. So it feels good to relieve myself. I no longer have to hide behind what I was going through, because I would have to show up even when I wasn't feeling my best or whatever the case may be, feeling insecure. And it's just like, okay, here's all of me. Here's my story. Here's my journey. This is what I've been going through. And I just look forward to just like inspiring other people and helping in any way I possibly can. Mm-hmm.
So I love this for you. I can't wait to hear what's happening for you over the next year and a half and how life is going to pay you back for that time that you had to dedicate to getting healthy. Yeah. I believe that your journey is just getting started, because God has allowed you and encouraged you to cut off so much that doesn't deserve to have access to this next level that you're about to go to.
Let's go.
You better kill it.
I mean,
I'm talking about, you better take this second chance. And you better go out there and show your behind.
Okay.
Every single thing that's on your spirit to do, you seek God first, but you get it done. Like, don't take a moment for granted. You haven't yet. Don't start now. Every single thing that you want to do, everything that's in your heart, you better go out there and you better kill it. And you better impact thousands of lives or more along the way. Like, this is now your mission. God has given you another chance. And it's up to you now to take that chance, and you go out there and be impactful for other people, which you are already doing. And I'm proud of you.
Noted.
Yes, yes, yes. I think now more than ever, anybody who's ever been on the fence about whether or not life insurance is ideal for them or not, this was your episode to say, you know what? Let me press pause right now. I don't even need to see the last 2-minute ending, because I need to get on the phone and get some life insurance.
Absolutely.
What's your agency? Can you serve all over the United
Absolutely.
States? Less,
except
at least
for New York.
Except for New York.
New York.
Can people now? I'm not saying that, you know, you may have your own agent or whatever, but can people call your office and get that analysis to just at least understand what they need?
Absolutely.
Where can they link in your bio?
Yes, link in my bio. You can go to my Instagram, Brianna Kayla J. Click the link. I would be more than happy to talk to you, do a life insurance audit, kind of see, like, do you have the right type of policy? Do you need more? Do you need less? I don't care. Let's just get the conversation done.
And thankfully, you had it in place before you were medically diagnosed with anything.
Absolutely.
Hint, hint, clue, clue. All right. So
yes.
At least find out if you have a policy, if you have the right policy, if you're maximizing that policy. And if you don't, y'all, when we say, or when life insurance experts say $1 million policy, it doesn't cost you $1 million.
Oh my gosh, no.
It doesn't cost you $1 million.
No.
It's an affordable expense.
Yes.
for you that protects you up to that amount, right? Absolutely. Think about like even your car insurance, and oftentimes life insurance costs less than car insurance does, yeah, right? Yeah. But it's like the same kind of deal. You pay this small premium out of pocket to be protected up to whatever amount you choose. Mm-hmm. I cannot stress enough how much confidence and relief I have in knowing that I have access to these policies. I hope to never need them, yes, right? Well, absolutely. We'll all need one of them at some point, but yeah. I hope to never really need them for the purposes that you had to go through. But imagine not having that issue. At least find out how much it costs.
Absolutely.
And then let's go from there.
Yeah, because like I got the cheapest life insurance it's always going to be cheaper today rather tomorrow. So the longer you wait, the higher it'll be. So my $1 million policy I got when I was 24, I'm only paying $35 a month for it. Locked in.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. You want to set it and forget it, like you just said. Put that thing on auto draft and just...
And you're locked in.
Locked in. And the worst time to like realize you need something is when you don't have it.
Yeah. So. Any of you who are interested even in maybe... thinking about life insurance as a career pathway for yourself, I encourage you to hit Brianna up too and just see. I'm not forcing you to do anything that you don't want to do. I'm just encouraging you to just see. All right, Brianna, thank you so much for sitting here with me on Full Transparency. We've enjoyed it. As usual, you guys, I want you to, in the comments, wherever you are watching this, comment your biggest takeaway. And if you have insurance, I feel like life insurance, I feel like it's our responsibility to spread that message. Just comment the word insured in the comments if you have insurance so people can see how many of us are actually out here handling our business. And if you've been inspired to get it for yourself, drop the word inspired in the chat. I want to see who we're dealing with, regardless of where it is. Let them do an audit for you and make sure you have everything in place. I'll see you on the next episode of Full Transparency. Bye.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.